Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake. A large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
And so I can now reveal that our mystery preacher this morning is Eileen Roper. So Eileen, if you'd like to come up.
Good day. Yes, I am another this morning. I've not yet mastered how to preach without this to put my notes on, so. Right, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word in the Bible, written so long ago, but yet still speaks to us today. Lord, I pray you will speak to our hearts afresh this morning through your word. Move amongst us, Lord, and meet with us today. Amen. This is an amazing passage in the Bible, so full of good things, so powerful, so busy, and yet, to me, it's a bit of a problem, I have to admit. I've no problem believing the great things in the Bible, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he died on a cross, actually died and rose again 3 days later. How unbelievable is that? No problem to me. That he went back to heaven and sent his spirit to be with each person who believes in him. No problem. But this passage somehow shakes the rug under my faith feet a little. It makes me feel nervous. And I think it's because it personally challenges me. If my daughter were dying and I tried absolutely everything to get help for her, would I believe that Jesus could heal her? If I had an illness for 12 years, spent everything on doctors and just grown worse, would I believe that touching the clothes of Jesus would make me better? Even though I know others that have reached out to Jesus and been healed, this passage still shakes me a little. But as I looked into this passage, and I began to wonder if Jairus and the woman were so much more full of faith than I believed I would be, or if their faith were driven by the desperate situation they found themselves in. They were desperate people who reached out to Jesus. I discovered that this passage, it is about Jairus and his daughter. It is about the woman. But most of all, it's about Jesus and his heart for those in need. It's about his authority in each situation. It's about his wisdom and his power. The rug under my feet begins to steady. This passage is about two amazing healings, but they happened because Jesus was there. So let's begin by looking first at Jairus. Jairus was the president of the synagogue, in charge of rotas, not an enviable job, I wouldn't imagine. He could say who could preach, who could read, who could pray in the synagogue. It was up to him to see that nothing unfitting took place there. And it's quite likely in different circumstances, acting as president, Jairus would have had nothing to do with Jesus. He would have banned him from the synagogue, which was happening to Jesus at the time, regarding him as a heretic and a lawbreaker. It was his desperate need that drove him to Jesus. His pride was nothing compared to his situation he found himself in. Where else could he go for help? His only daughter was dying. He falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her and she will be healed." Now, I think Jesus could have said, "It's all very well coming to me now. You didn't want to know me before. Now you want me to drop everything and come with you." Jesus could have said that, but he didn't. Jesus shows the heart of God for those in need in one verse. "So Jesus went with him." So Jesus went with him. I think Jesus shows us in this action that we can come to God with our needs, mixed motives and all. Even if we've got God completely wrong in the past, even if we've acted in a way that we think bans us from the presence of God. I've heard people say that to me, "I can't come to God." Even if we think our actions make it impossible, we can come to him. What really matters is we put all that down and we meet with Jesus. Jairus' life was transformed. He was given his daughter back. What if he'd thought, "I can't go to Jesus. I stopped him coming to the synagogue last week. He won't help me." He would have been left in his misery. Now he fell at Jesus' feet, brought his need to him, and Jesus went with him. What a great verse that is, to know that Jesus goes with all those in need. And the more I mix with people, the older I get, I realise that's most of us. That's all of us, actually. Then there's the woman who really interrupted all that was happening. She shouldn't have been in the crowd that day, you know, because of her illness. Everything she touched, she was considered unclean, and everything she touched was considered unclean. Have you seen that advert on telly? It's not Smarties, but similar sweets, where the guy, everything he touches, turns to all these sweets. What a nightmare! It was worse for this woman. Everything she touched was considered unclean. How isolating. How lonely. What a miserable existence. How humiliating. And that had gone on for 12 years. She spent all her money on doctors, and her illness just got worse. She had heard about Jesus, and through her desperation thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. So there in that crowd where she shouldn't have been, she reached out and touched him. And it says in the reading that she knew from the moment she touched his robe that her body was freed from her suffering. Now she probably just wanted to do that and disappear. But Jesus had other ideas. "Who touched me?" he said. She'd been rumbled. She came forward trembling with fear. And Jesus says to her, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." Strange Jesus should say that, because she already knew she was freed from her suffering. But I think that tells her that Jesus wanted more for this woman than just physical healing. I believe Jesus knew she needed healing from the humiliating damage done to her while she was ill. She needed restoring physically and in every other way. So he says, "Go in peace, be freed from your suffering." Jesus is saying to her, "Go, make friends, be confident, enjoy your life, go and live." See, in John 10:10, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, life in all its fullness." Jesus wanted nothing less than complete healing for this woman. And that only happened in that meeting, that one-to-one meeting. That was the meeting that saved her. The Greek word for healing also means to be saved. That one-to-one encounter she had with Jesus brought complete healing. If we build our faith on something that has happened to us, or something that has happened to someone else, then we build our faith on shaky ground. We need to build our faith on an encounter with Jesus, on our one-to-one with Jesus. Actually, that's our job as Christians, to know Jesus, to spend time with him, to receive from him. Everything he says about himself indicates that. "I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. You are the branches," all about receiving from him. The strapline for our church is a transformed people, transforming our community. That transformation begins and continues with each one of us meeting with Jesus and knowing him. Jesus says in John 7:37, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him." We come to Jesus as Christians, receive from him, receive his spirit, receive all he wants to give us, and that flows from us. How amazing is that? It's not about us striving. It's about us receiving and allowing that to flow out to others. When I read this passage, I started out thinking I would be preaching on healing. But as I went through, I realised that it was developing more into each one of us meeting with Jesus. But you know, to meet with Jesus is complete healing. When we meet with Jesus and we want to follow him, our lifestyles begin to be healed. He won't allow us to do things that are bad for us. He'll start to talk to us about that and encourage us to move away from the things that are bad for us. Our lifestyles begin to be healed. When we meet with Jesus and we realise how much God loves us, our emotions start to be healed. Our anxieties start to be healed. And when we meet with Jesus and want to serve him, that's when our families, our churches, our communities all begin to feel the benefits. And it's all about healing. It's that meeting with Jesus that brings healing. And you know, everything is different after a meeting with Jesus. It was for Jairus. It was for the woman. But there are others in the Bible. I love the story of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. A different way of meeting with Jesus. He just was curious. And Jesus said, oh, come on, I want to spend some time with you. And after Zacchaeus and Jesus spent time together, Zacchaeus declared that if he'd cheated everyone, which was probably everyone he knew, he would pay them back 4 times as much as he had cheated them. A changed life after a meeting with Jesus. And then there's the amazing story of Saul, who on the Damascus Road met with the risen Jesus, which is what, as Christians today we do. He met with the risen Jesus. And he changed from one who was threatening to kill all the Christians he could see to one who had met with God and went out and told the world about God. A changed life. Meeting with Jesus changes us and changes our communities. You know, and it brings in God's kingdom. Anyone that's been doing every day with Jesus knows that this week it's been all about the church being God's kingdom here on earth. That can only happen if we have met with Jesus and Jesus has changed our lives. Then we become God's kingdom here on earth. And then that kingdom starts to grow. Because as we allow Jesus to work, others are attracted to that. So I really want to get this message over this morning. Have you met with Jesus? I've been a Christian a long time, and I've met with people who have gone for the church. Thought the church was an amazing place. Who have liked the company of Christians, but they had not actually met with Jesus themselves. And what happened? They gradually lose what faith they've had. Have you met with Jesus for yourself? Do you know his presence in your life? That is just the first building block of us being God's kingdom. If you've met with Jesus already, do you want more of his presence in your life? Just ask for more of the Holy Spirit in his life. Ask that we become the place that God wants us to be. Ask that we become God's kingdom here on earth for others to come into. Do we want to be, as our strapline says, a transformed people, transforming our community? Then we need to meet with Jesus. We need to give our lives to him. We need to ask for more and more of his Holy Spirit in our lives. So shall we just pray? If you've not already met with Jesus, you don't know him as your personal friend and saviour, but you'd like to, just reach out as the woman, as Jairus reached out, and ask him into your life. Ask him to become real to you. If you know his presence, but you'd want to become more and more like him, just ask for more and more of his Holy Spirit in your life. And Lord, I just pray that you have given us the privilege of knowing you. You have given us the privilege of knowing your power in our church life. So Lord, I just ask that you will make us more and more the place you want us to be. That we will be your kingdom here on earth. And you will draw others into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you.
'We're going to have communion in a minute, and hopefully our children are going to come back soon. Otherwise, I'll just have to keep talking until they do, and that won't be good. But just two things, as Eileen was speaking, that I think are important for us as we come to communion this morning, and perhaps for some of us, we need to receive some prayer ministry as well. Some of us this morning are sat here, and we know that we are somewhere where we are not supposed to be. Just as Eileen was saying that phrase really struck in my head. That woman was somewhere where she was not supposed to be. And that's why when Jesus heals her and says, "Who touched me?" and she goes to Jesus, the reason that she's trembling with fear is because she knows that she wasn't supposed to be there. And she thinks that Jesus is going to tell her off. Even though she's been healed, she thinks he's going to tell her off. And there are some of us here this morning, and we are somewhere we are not supposed to be. Maybe we've been doing a good bit of gossiping recently. Maybe we've been talking about other people behind their backs. Maybe we've been using the internet for things that we wouldn't like to say in public. Whatever it is, if you know that this morning you've been somewhere where you're not supposed to be, as you come to communion, and if you want prayer ministry afterwards, Jesus is ready to welcome you. He doesn't condemn you, just like that woman shouldn't have been there. The law said she should not have been there, but he healed her and he welcomed her. So if that is you this morning, as you come to communion, bring that to God, and you might need to have some more prayer. And then there was another thing, but as usual, I've forgotten what that is. It'll come. The kids haven't come back. They get upset if we do the piece without them, because the piece is for them. Oh, we could do. Yeah, so we're going to sing the offertory hymn, after which I might have remembered what the other thing was, and then the kids will be back, and then we'll do the piece. Oh, the kids are coming. They're here. So we'll do the offertory in a minute. We'll do the piece first. So as our children come in, as our children come back to us, why don't we stand together on our feet, that kind of standing. Brilliant. I'm sure more of them will join us. So Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by his cross. And we meet in his name and we share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. So let's share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Peace be with you, Lydia. Peace be with you, Tony.
You can't see me. I don't think you can see over here.
Who's that?
Tony Goodie.
Yeah. Was he carrying any books by any chance? You see, was it?
And because, oh, there we go. And because it's the offertory hymn, we'll take up the offering during it. So we're going to sing Before the Throne of God Above.
Switch this telly on, otherwise I won't know what you can see, except it's not plugged in. Never mind, the joys of pat testing. So let's just pray. Wise and gracious God, you spread a table before us, nourish your people with the word of life and the bread of heaven. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing.